The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
Ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left. Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Chelsea 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes! Goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross sticks the biggest!
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's an over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we're brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. A successful week for the Reds, a hard-earned 1-1 draw at home in the Ringsend Derby against Shamrock Rovers with some late drama. We'll get to that. We'll preview the Women's Premier Division fixture with Treat United. Obviously, the girls are back after the World Cup break. But more importantly, the main event, Mr. Keith McDarvey, our commercial director.
Hello,
Keith,
folks.
How are you?
How are we? All good. Thanks for having me.
To keep us on track and make sure we don't say anything that'll get us cancelled, Darren Cleary.
Pressing the buttons.
People don't know we're here. Shh.
Well, we're here anyway, in a studio with buttons.
Yeah, exactly.
After Tony's internet failed to work last week.
Well, look, that's what happens when you live out in the sticks. I suppose we'll start with a glorious result against Shamrock Rovers, will we? Probably not a bad place to start.
I understand from Twitter you're not allowed to celebrate draws.
No, definitely not.
Especially not late draws. If you score in the last 10 minutes, it doesn't mean anything and you should just be miserable all your life and not enjoy football in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, especially when the best player in the league scores a 94th minute equaliser. Definitely can't do it then.
Oh, but he's not the best young player in the league apparently, because, I mean, everyone says that it's someone else.
Yeah, of course. Keith, you're a good football man. What did you make of the game on Friday?
Yeah. He's a player. Do you remember Keith?
He's still a player.
His career was summed up with all style, no substance.
Yeah, Damien tried to sign me. I'm sticking by that. Good game. Good result. Limbs. Love to see it. I actually said that was the first time. I think I'm here nearly 2 years now.
Get into that mic now.
Am I in enough?
You look like you're going to fall into a coma.
I'm just
leaning back.
You're
a bit too
relaxed.
Out here.
First time in 2 years I've seen, I think, a last minute goal that meant something.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's criminal, isn't it, really?
But I think, like, we've obviously got one maybe when we were one up or two up or whatever, but
yeah.
I think that's the first time we've got one that meant something.
It probably is. Some know-it-all will probably get onto us and say it's not, but the manager mentioned it as well after the game when he spoke to you, Dazzler, about, you know, he's been waiting and waiting for something late, a big moment late on in the game, and it was a big L moment in the context of the season, really, wasn't it?
It was massive. I think the big thing was how good we were when we went a goal down. I was a bit worried when, you know, we should have had a penalty. You could argue we should have had two penalties. And when we were on top, we didn't really make Rovers pay. I worried then if the chance was gone. Evan Caffrey had an unbelievable chance. I just don't know whether it was good defending or if he couldn't get his feet right. Like, we did really well after we went one down. In saying that, we deserved to be one down. Rovers were good. They had a few chances, but we were in the game, and the draw is a brilliant result. It's a fair result, and the fact that you go into now games against the likes of Bowes, Rovers, Pats, Derry with no fear anymore, that's an amazing testament to how far Duffer and the staff have brought the club, because in 2020 and 2021 you probably dread games against people. You don't get that anymore. You kind of, it's not a confidence, but it's a quiet, you know, feeling and understanding that the club has come on an awful lot, that you can't see us getting it hiding.
Well, Shane's a penalty. I haven't seen it back. The one he was in, I thought he was in the box.
There was a handball after that free kick anyway, so that should have been the penalty.
Well,
I didn't see it back.
Shane's one was definitely a foul. It looked well inside the box from where I was. Now, look, I was in the middle of the riverside, so it's not the best football view at the best of times. I thought it did look like a penalty, but somebody said to me after the game, even if it wasn't a penalty, is he not technically the last man if it's a foul?
It's a clear goal scoring opportunity.
If
you got it?
if that defender's not there, Shane's one of them to keep her. Yeah. So that was an interesting take. But just in general, I thought we were brutal in the first half. At the time, I was kind of sitting there going, we've been brutal here. Now, talking to other people, I don't think it was as bad. Sometimes you get it in your head like that, you know, we've been stinking here. But it was interesting talking to Gavin Malloy after the game that Davy Mack took the halftime team talk, which I thought was interesting because I think I say it all the time about like the Duffer rocket that he seems to give teams at halftime, and whatever Macker came out with, like he spoke to Gav about, you know, there's moments in the game, like you want to have big moments, so let's come up at one. And funny enough, Gav goes and sticks a header in the back of the net. But yeah, in the context of the season, it's huge. Just keeps us just on the coattails of Dundalk and Bowes. Important result just to keep it alive. Bowes are going into a really tough run of games. Dundalk, I'm not convinced of Dundalk, to be totally honest with you. So it's very much alive. But performance wise, Dazzler, Keith, I'm not going to put you on this box. I know you deal with the players a lot, so I'm not going to make you say that.
Throw someone under the bus.
Yeah, why not? You deal with the players a lot.
Bedlin and Gay.
God's sake.
I can't wait to get into some of the stuff Keith has done.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't my job, but he does it anyway.
Yeah. We'll get to what Keith does in the club. You probably won't believe half of the stuff, but Dazzler, performers on Friday stand out for good reasons.
I think there were some brave calls made. Like, I don't know whether Andy Quinn was an injury or whether it was just dropped after Dundalk, but I think it was the right decision. I think Paddy Barrett was brilliant. Shane Griffin's been brilliant since he came back in. I think giving Jack a rest probably got the desired response then in the second half.
Was it a rest?
The man just said take him out. Like, probably a bit like Boydie down in Cork. You're looking for a responsive player, hasn't hit the levels you know they're capable of. I'd say there's probably an element of that. I'm sure Jack would be the first to admit himself. In recent games, maybe he's not having the impact he would like to have. You got the response. I thought Jad did really, really well when he came on. I thought Harry Wood was live all night. Jarvis as well. Like he tried things. He lost the ball a few times, but it was the bravery to try and beat his man nearly every time. Give me that every day over, you know, recycling back to the centre half, because I just think eventually that's what creates the chances, being that bit brave. Yeah, you probably will cough up chances at the other end. Maybe it'll lead to a goal, but I think they've brought an awful lot to that group. And I think to be going into a game against Rovers and putting two proper attacking players in, three if you count Farrell, it says a lot about where the ambition is, where the desire is. Like, I saw a Rovers fan saying, oh, typical Shells, they'll set up to draw every game. There's no way we were trying to draw in that game.
No.
Like, we were going out there to win that game. So I think from a tactics point of view, never thought we'd go to 4-4-2 at times, but it's...
I have this great image of Joey O'Brien standing up in front of the team before, and he's going to name the team, and he comes out with, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to play with 4-4-2.
Yeah,
I could see Joey O'Brien going full Mike Bassett, definitely.
Looked like a 4-2-4 at the start, didn't it?
Look at Keith, guys. This is why
it did, though, didn't it?
Welcome to the club, Keith, right, of talking about the decisions that two... one Premier League winner, another player with, I don't even know, I counted them before, but an awful lot of Premier League experience, and we're sitting here trying to get into their brains. It's great crack, isn't it? You feel real important sitting here, and then you kind of go, yeah, maybe they have it under control. Maybe they do know what they're doing, what they're talking about.
They most certainly do. The changes I thought were really good. Mm-hmm. I think there is, like, there is a bravery in whipping players off at halftime. I'd love to see the stats. I'd say we probably are... No one has taken a player off at halftime more than us this year. But it gets the response. It works. Like, it worked down in Dundalk. I thought we were much better in the second half. Same as you. I thought we were poor in the first half in Dundalk. Other people thought we were actually all right. A lot of it depends where you watch the game from and how close you are to big moments. Like, physically, how close you are to seeing them. But I thought we played really well the other day. Obviously, on a different day, Rovers are a bit more clinical. If they go 2-0 up, it's hard to see a way back into it. Maybe we lose 3-0, but I thought we were really, really good in what we needed to be. And, like, we had to bring Bemi on because we're down bodies. Like, look what Rovers are bringing on. Look what we're bringing on.
Yeah, it's, like, that always gets me when we play Rovers. It's the same out there where you think you have their number and then all of a sudden, like, Rory Gaffney comes on or Aaron Green comes on or...
Johnny Kenny.
Yeah, like, and you're kind of going, oh, here, yeah, where are we going with this? Although before we had the likes of Stan coming on, so there's definitely been an upgrade there.
Oh, God.
Keith, as somebody who's played football...
the new Reggie here, yeah. as a player myself.
No, Keith's played at a decent level.
Has Reggie come back
and I'm allowed to say that.
Himself a player?
I don't think so, no.
He plays hockey, does he not, Reggie? No?
He does, yeah.
But he describes himself as a player, having played hockey.
Hockey is basically hurling for people that don't want to get hurt. That's pretty much what hockey is. But I am allowed to say...
Hurling for soft chaps.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Soft chaps.
I'm allowed to say Keith's played football at a decent level. So at what stage does... not performing great in the first half, but being able to turn around for a second half. At what stage is that a major concern, do you think?
What do you mean? If you
like, we have this habit of not playing great in the first half, and then, like that, as I said, the manager lights a rocket or whatever he does at half time, or Davey Mack or Joey, whoever it might be.
Yeah, something seems to change in the second half.
Well, like,
it?
Is that an issue, or do you lean on the fact that, well, at least we're able to turn it around?
At least it's being turned around. That's the way I'd look at it. I mean, you could flip it at the start quick and then. Backs against the wall then the last few minutes, you know what I mean? It can go either way, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't think we were as bad as people thought we were in the first half on Friday night. I know Damien said and people have said that we were poor, but I thought we actually started the first few minutes quite lively. But Rovers are a good side, you know what I mean? You have to just let them. They're always going to have a moment in the game where they're battering you, but I thought most of the second half we were definitely on top. Like,
yeah, that's what I think people forget. Like,
Rovers, it was Rovers are, at the end
yeah,
of the day.
Yeah, they're
as well,
in for four in a row. Yeah. Like, they're a very, very good team. And like, Jack Byrne is going around not even in the squad. The other players not even involved. And still
the level of sub
they're able to make, like, it's just shocking. And I said this to Gav after the game as well. We made them look ordinary at times, really ordinary. We were bouncing the ball around them and we had their number. So it's one of them where it's great that you're competing with them, and then on the flip side of it you're going, if we had have performed in the first half like the second, you could be going beating them. And then you're way in the mix because obviously Balls drop points. Dundalk got a win against the hopeless Sligo team. So, yeah, no, we're in a good spot. Keith, time to put the spotlight on you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, we spoke to Tony last week. I think it's important people get a feel for what goes on away from the pitch in the club. There's more than just a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon. There's constantly wheels turning in the background. So, tell us, first of all, your background in kind of the commercial end of things and how the gig in Shells came about.
How I ended up there. Well, my background is hotels, sales and marketing mainly. I would have known Dave O'Connor from before I went away. I was in Australia for a couple of years. Was coming home. Dave and Andrew Doyle were looking for someone to sort of come in and modernise how the club works commercially. I had a few ideas that I ran by them. It was an interesting project for me at the time because I was coming back from Australia. I just wanted to take it on. They were happy to take me in. It was an exciting time. It was just at the end of the first division season, so basically won the league. I think there were four games left and whatever amount of points clearly were. I can't remember. But and then it's just been kind of skyrocketing since then, different things. Damien coming in, Premier Division, Cup Finals, new owners now. When I say it's a bit of a madhouse, it's not an exaggeration, it's mental. But there's been plenty of times me and obviously Barry is in now, who's still kind of in the settling in period, but plenty of times me and Dave have sat opposite each other and talking and gone, right, Jesus, how are we getting out of this now? Yeah.
Putting out fires.
Yeah, you do. And look, that's kind of the next stage for us now, is to get like people like Tony in, new bodies, more resources that we can become proactive again, because you do sort of slip into a reactive way of working when you just don't have the amount of people there to do stuff. So like my title is commercial director, but which is primarily to like generate revenue and bring money in all different ways, like whether that's sponsorship or events or like things like our beer and match day experience, all that sort of stuff. But the nature of the job is that you just have to slip into other stuff. I know I work closely with you guys anyway a lot of the time, and Andy McGowan and stuff like that.
Can I give you a complaint?
Go ahead.
We've just got a late equaliser in the Ringsend Derby.
Oh, don't.
We've just got a late equaliser. The place is on wheels. Nothing compares to you plays. Everyone cries and trumps in the talca.
You not play Mero Picado, no?
And then as everyone was leaving, it became Nothing Compares to You. Would you please, please, please look at the playlist?
I thought you saw it. Did you not saw
that? We looked at the playlist. We tried. We created an entirely new playlist.
I had gone into the tunnel for something after the game, and I bounced back out of the tunnel so happy. Lads were still hanging over the railings and all. Everyone delighted. And then I heard that really distinct start to Nothing Compares to You, and I went, oh, please, no. What was the other game that happened? Was the Bows?
Caravan of Love.
Yeah, the Caravan of Love.
I remember
we just spanked
Bows
at home, and you're playing the Caravan of Love. I like the House Martins, but Jesus, not after a Dublin Derby win. And it always seems to be a Dublin Derby game.
I think that is something. Like, obviously, you looked at it before, but I know Brian McGovern's marketing plan has that highlighted in it as one particular thing that needs a bit of a revamp. So hopefully that will come now. But again, like, Carl's done a good job there for years. You know what I mean? You can't, like, we rely a lot on volunteers, as you know. Yeah. So just maybe we can just, I don't know, sneak a few different songs on the playlist. Maybe we'll see what we can do. But yeah. No, that is something that we will look at.
So when you started first in the role, Keith, you mentioned your background was hotels. What was that changeover like? Like, all of a sudden you're in a football club and it's like, right, this isn't probably my wheelhouse. Was there a big kind of period to adapt?
Kind of, yeah. Like, obviously I thought I was going to change the world. Like, you know, I had all
it's
these
like
great
you should,
plans.
Like, you should be coming.
But I had all these great plans and, you know, put them forward to Dave and Andrew, and they thought they were great, and they kind of got behind them as well. And it wasn't really rocket science what had to be done. It was just sort of, you know, treated like a kind of a business, and, you know, change the sponsorship model and kind of go more towards a partnership sort of stuff, and, you know, look after those accounts and manage them and offer them more and give them, you know, stuff that they actually want. It was sort of it's still sort of a legacy thing in football in the country, really, is that, like, sponsorship seems to be like people are doing you a favour, which was always the way, and that's no one's fault. It's like, there's a couple of things. People didn't want to give money, all the John Delaney stuff, FAI stuff, and all the, I don't think brands kind of trusted the League of Ireland. They'd more rather go down Leinster Rugby or GAA or whatever. So I was kind of trying to switch that mentality and show that we, you know, it's not just a favour. Like, we can, obviously, if like a brand wants to work with us for whatever reason, like, we can actually deliver on what they want to get from it. Like, sponsorship in sports is huge, and we now have more bums on seats and more social media following and all that sort of stuff, so we can actually offer brands, you know, what they'd expect to get from a football sponsorship, you know. So that was kind of the aim at the start, and, like, we're 2 years into that now. But, you know, the next stage is now we're obviously hiring a full-time marketing executive, which is going to be huge for that. Huge for all sides of the club, but, you know, commercially as well, it will help. So that's kind of the next step in that process. So yeah, it's all looking good. And look, the new lads from Hull, the Argent Media guys, are good as well in that sort of stuff. Like, they're willing to lend a hand with whatever they can. So that's going to help us as well massively. Like, that hasn't really got going yet. There's obviously other stuff that needs to be ironed out, but that will hopefully come and hopefully help in the future as well.
So when you came in first, was there much existing kind of commercial, you mentioned there, like, partnerships and stuff like that, was there much going on when you arrived, or did you kind of come and go, oh, here, this isn't enough, like, we need to get going here?
Yeah, well, we did do a pretty big revamp. Like, obviously there was ones there that are still there, like, that are kind of there for a number of years, but it was more so the more sort of, like, hopefully longer term strategical ones that, like, you know, aren't just a pitch side sign. You know, the likes of TU Dublin and stuff like that, like, we, you know, there's a lot more to that deal. And, like, just in general, just offering a little bit more and then managing those. I think there was, like, again, nobody's fault, like, but it happens in other clubs probably because they don't have a full-time person in the role, is that, you know, you pay your money and then it's like, right, well, we got their money off them,
yeah,
so
thanks.
See you next year. Whereas, yeah, like, I meet with this, like, all of our, well, the majority of our sponsors very regularly, like, whether it's just a cup of coffee or, you know, do you need tickets to the game, or, you know, I'll pop out and have a chat with them, or, you know, bring them down to Talca and have a, you know, they might go out to the AUL, meet Damien, meet, you know, meet some players, whatever. So it's just little things like that. Like, some of them want that, some of them don't want that. Other people want different things. So it's just trying to manage that and keep everyone happy, I suppose. That's kind of...
So when you're trying to set up, like, as you call it, a partnership, or if you're looking for a new sponsor, is it like making phone calls, calling into places? Like, what's the... Is it sending out emails just to everyone and see what sticks? Like, what's the process?
Yeah, well, that's... Like, it's funny because I said to Dave... I keep talking about Dave. I know he's not with us anymore, but
he is with us, Keith. He's just not in the role.
Rest in peace.
Yeah,
he saw him on Friday. Yeah,
he was in great.
No, but I think the aim, like the aim is, and I know Ryan, who does my job in Rovers, and like when you know you're doing well, or you know you're sort of at the point where you want to be, is when people are actually ringing you. So like, yeah, people ring Rovers, or like, or ring Ryan, or email in. Like, we get the odd email, but it most of them look like a scam half the time, so you might delete them. So yeah, it's very
million euro leads there, Keith.
Yeah, it's very you got to be very proactive, like, kind of try and put yourself in their shoes, like what can they gain from being with us, and kind of sell that to them, sell the story where we're trying to go, and kind of a lot of brands want to have like an impact in communities and stuff like that, and like, I think it shows a certain thing about their brand if they are doing that. So they want to see where their money's going as well, and it's important that you show them that, like, if they're getting involved with the women's team or women's academy, then like, that's where their money goes. It's not paying someone's wages somewhere else, you know, that kind of way. So that's also important as well, that we do that. But yeah, it's not the finished article, but that's sort of where we're trying to get to.
So you mentioned there at Rovers that people are kind of going to Rovers. Is that just because they're in Europe every year, the highest attendance is in the league? Is that what it is? That
predominantly,
they're just they're the first person you go to. So has the manager been much of a, I don't want to call him a bargaining tool, but like, is he, do you use it in that kind of way where, well, look, this is
we do. Yeah, like, you have to. Do you know what I mean? It's, you'd be silly not to. Like, Damien's quite good with stuff like that anyway, if you catch him on the right day, you know. But like, yeah, obviously some, like, the first question you often get is, oh, you know how's Damien getting on, and you just automatically know straight away that they're interested in like football, and they've obviously know who he is and stuff like that. So you do have to feed into it, but I think it's more so shows the ambition of the club, that like, when Andrew and the board originally brought Damien in, that was kind of a, we just sort of been on this wave over the last 2 years with that, and then like that fed into like good performances on the pitch, and then cup finals, and now we're more established and we're getting draws against Rovers, and now we're looking at potentially European game. Like, that's sort of so it all sort of feeds into one. It's a weird, it's a kind of a strange way going about things. But yeah, to answer your question, definitely we do sort of use his persona and his.
So what's it? Like, most people wouldn't have ever been in a role like that. There's very few full-time roles in football in the country. That's just the nature of it. What's a day-to-day, like, and I know you're laughing, but, like, I wouldn't have the first idea what a commercial director's doing during the day. Like, you just, like, these hoardings pop up and these sponsors pop up. I don't think people realise kind of what goes on before that to get it over the line, if you like. But what is a day like for you?
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends. Like, as I said, you do sort of have weeks where you feel like you slip into this sort of reactive mode of like just putting out fires of different things that pop up. But I suppose like you're presenting to people, you know, there's a bit of admin work in it. You have to like obviously create your presentations and create your proposals and, you know, go out and present to people in offices, or they come out to you, or like that's kind of predominantly what the role, you know, should be mainly doing, you know. And as I said, managing the accounts that you already have, whether it's coffees or whatever, you know, going out and just having a chat, or whether it's a meeting about next year, or what can we do next year? Can we increase the sponsorship to do something else, or whatever? But yeah, like, I mean, you could, like, honestly, just things that pop up that you just can't explain. And it's not that, like, it's that's not my job sort of thing. Like, but there's no one, like, often there's no one else around to do certain things. Like,
is
you know
that
what I mean?
Because it's you're full time, so you're just the go to. It's like, oh well, Keith's there, he'll do it first.
Yeah, exactly. So like, oh, he's in the office. Yeah, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you go get Bedlin for?
I was going to say, can you tell us what you did today? Now we're not gonna mention any names unless you want it. But tell us what you were asked to do today.
Well, about half an hour ago, won't name names, but I received a phone call, a very important phone call. My phone actually rang 3 times and I didn't answer the first time. Then the next time I was on the phone, and then it rang another time. I was like, geez, this must be important now. This guy doesn't ring you for three times and it's not important. And I answered, and it was like, are you near Blanche by any chance? No, I'm on my way into town. It's like, ah, oh, I need to get X player some new bed linen. So to answer your previous question, that's the sort of stuff that can pop up. Like, you could just, like, I spent the full day getting the two Harrys into their new apartments, meeting the landlords, getting the fobs, getting all the lads sorted out their hotel and bringing them down in IKEA, Home Store and more. You know yourself, like, that's the stuff that happens. But then, like, that's a day gone, you know, and then all of a sudden the next day then you're, something else could pop up, or you end up, actually doing what you're sort of meant to be doing most of the time. So yeah, it's mad.
So do you get to enjoy a match night, or is a match night still like a working night for you, if you like? Like, are you still always watching and trying to meet people, or do you try and keep a Friday as like, right, this is the end of my week, I can go watch the match, enjoy the game and go home?
Yeah, well, leading up to the match, obviously things can, it's quite chilled. Like, the lads have it, ready to go. Like, the lads, like, obviously John looks after the bar and stuff like that, and Niall and the security lads are doing everything. So like, there's not a whole lot to do really, unless of people coming in. Like, obviously we had the Azure Media guys on Friday, so that was busy. But yeah, like, I don't really talk to anyone watching the match. I like to just, that's my sort of 45 minutes. Then you half time, you might have a chat with people or whatever again, and then kind of switch off and watch the match again in the second half, because there's nothing worse than, I think, you're sitting beside someone and, like,
oh, they keep talking.
They obviously don't want you to talk to them as well, like, that kind of way. So
just take it all in. He's a great man for yapping to you during the game.
It depends what game. It's a nervous thing. Yeah. Like, I just nervously chat away because I don't want to just watch the game, then I don't follow it as well.
I'm a chewing gum guy, I think. A bit like Fergie. Have to have a pack of chewing gums.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, that's my nervous thing. Yeah. Yeah, watching a match, yeah. And then it's become a sort of, if I don't have my chewing gums,
you're thrown off,
we're going to lose, like.
Oh, don't start with the superstitions.
So it's pandemonium. I actually swapped, they only had Mentos in the club shop, and the new owners were coming in, and I bought Mentos off the girl in the shop and swapped with Ellie, who works in the club shop, for her chewing gums. Because I wouldn't have made it to Tesco.
It's like schoolyard stuff. Yeah,
I was like, you have chewing gums. You have chewing gums. I have Mentos. Yeah. Let's swap. I need them. Like, so.
How do you do it? Like, because obviously there's a lot of stuff that we would shovel, and you're a Shells fan, so you find a way to do the stuff that annoys you. You've come in with no allegiance to Shells, but it's probably fair to say you are a Shells fan now. When you could probably be working somewhere else, probably getting paid more, doing your actual job more often and less stress, what is it that keeps you being like, no, I'm doing it for Shells?
I don't know, really, to be honest with you. I've asked myself that a few times. I don't know, you kind of get engrossed in it. Like, obviously I was lucky enough to, look, I think you're lucky enough to be working in football regardless. Like, you wake up on a Monday, most people you talk to, you're talking about football. So like, that's, like, we're all football fans. Like, that's sort of, like, that's a massive part of it as well. Like, it's never boring, it's never dull. Like, you're always sort of in and around something to do with football. And I've been, like, a football fan, obviously that's huge. But yeah, you just sort of get sucked in. And it's hard to explain. Like, even my missus has often said to me, like, why don't you go and look and go back to hotels or something like that, or go on and do other things. I was like, no, it's an interesting project. Like, when I took it on, it was a project, and it still is, that kind of way. So that's sort of the way I look at it.
You'd miss the madness as well.
You miss the madness. You would, yeah. You would. And look, I get on with everyone as well. Like, there's some great people that I've met in the last 2 years as well. Like, obviously yourselves and other people and around the club and that, and like, when you come in on a Friday and you see everyone buzzing and everyone getting ready for the match and all, like, that's, and you're, and then, like, that's your job, like, you know what I mean? So there's a lot to be said for that. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
We had Dave O'Connor on here after he left the role, just when he was setting up to leave the role.
He didn't get off the fence for the whole thing.
Well, look, he did at the end. He let loose a bit at the end. He caned Reggie, did he not, right at the end?
Reggie gave him a lot of grey hairs in that last month. Going around saying mad stuff on Twitter, getting Dave angry calls from Mark Scanlon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I
don't blame him. But he mentioned that when he came into the role, he kind of had put a time limit on it. He kind of said, I'm going to give it X amount and see where I'm fixed. And he gave it that full amount and he was happy with kind of the way he had left the club. When you came into the role, did you have something similar in your head, or was it just kind of a, oh, do you know what, I'll go in and see how I go?
Yeah, not particularly. Like, I think the agreement with Andrew and Dave was that, you know, we'll try for a year, because obviously being in the Premier Division, you know, if we were to have gotten relegated, like, financially, it wouldn't have been, like, I wouldn't have been able to be there from the club's point of view. So, like, initially, yeah, it was a year technically, but, like, once I knew we were staying up, then it was like, right, we'll, you know, I signed a different contract and that sort of stuff. So, but yeah, I don't really have a time in it. Like, I'd be lying if I said I haven't sort of thought about, like, the plans, like, for me or whatever. I think everyone does, but I think now with, like, the new owners coming in and stuff, it kind of kicks us on again in a different direction. And just as you think, like, it's starting to fizzle out, you sort of go, off, you know.
Here's something else,
mad to kind of, to kind of keep us going. So, to answer your question, I don't know. I don't have a time on it. Just kind of rolling with it at the moment and seeing how it goes.
So when it started to come about with the Arjun Media guys coming in and stuff, what was your thought on it? Did you kind of go, oh, here, I could be, you know, I could be heading the chopping block stuff?
Or yeah, I think just... like everyone, yeah. I think like everyone thought that initially, like, you know. But then once I met them, I was excited by it. From my point of view, like, I didn't know the conversations that were happening with, you know, let's say Damien or whatever. You know, I was talking from a commercial, you know, what they can do for to help me. And like, that was like when I left that meeting in town, I was like, this is going to be big, like, this is going to be good. Real clever guys, you know. I think the big thing for me was I didn't know whether they understood what we were, like, you know, but they seemed to get that straight away, that, like, you've got people, a lot of volunteers, you know, I'm pretty much a, you know, you could be a one man band in covering a lot of things, and they kind of get, they get that, and they still do get that, obviously. So it wasn't a case of, like, I remember when I went to meet them with Stephen Mulhern, and it was like, I wonder what these lads, like, think, like, do they, like, and I almost felt stupid, like, they were kind of saying, okay, so how do you do this, or how do you do that, and you sort of felt a bit stupid going, oh, we don't do that, we haven't got the money to do that, you know, we can't do that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, but that was the shocking, well, not the shocking thing, that was the positive thing that I took from it, is that they knew that, like, that's what we were, and they wanted to fix it, or help fix it. So, like, that's kind of, and I don't think we'll really see the full benefits of all that for another, like, it's still in a bedding in period, and we're still trying to figure out, like, where we are, and, like, obviously, you interviewed Tony last week, like, Tony come in, and then we're hoping maybe to bring in some more resources, throughout the club, like, you know, looking at getting a new office and, like, stuff like that, so we won't be buried underground again.
The bunker.
In the bunker.
A dungeon in there first.
Yeah, especially in the winter time. So, like, things like that, Steve, are just really positive to me, and it's kind of exciting now, like, heading towards the end of this year. Hopefully we can finish this year in, like, on the pitch in a, like, I don't know if we can get Europe. We talk, can we mention the word Europe? I don't know. But
of course we can.
Yeah.
Well, my general rule of thumb is if the manager mentions it, we're allowed to mention it. So
yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, look, yeah. Hopefully, a lot of football to be played. If we were to end up getting in around that, I think next season on the pitch and off the pitch will be a lot different.
Would that cause chaos for you if we got into Europe in terms of the commercial end of things?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Just, like, would it throw existing stuff up in the air, or is it just, like, what way would it be?
No, I think it'd be all beneficial to us, you know.
You won't be charging enough for all your deals, is what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there'd be a few phone calls being made, I'd imagine.
The price, like, has gone up.
Yeah, yeah. which would be great. Like, look, being honest, without going into too much detail, like, most of our deals and across the league in general, apart from like Rovers or whatever, would be 1 year deals, and that's just a trust thing. Like, you have to obviously prove to people that you can do it, and they want to see where their money's going, they want to see a return on it, to a certain extent, a return on it. So like, we're in a kind of a position whereby if that was to happen, like, a lot of our deals would probably be expiring anyway, so it'd be kind of an opportunity to say, right, well, do you want to kick on with us, or or we'd hopefully have a few more things on the table or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of that's where it would be in that regard.
It's funny you mentioned trust there, and Tony mentioned it last week in relation to, you know, going into schools and communities and stuff, you need to build a trust. That must be a huge thing in your role, is it, where if you tell somebody we're going to have this for you, or we can do this, that and the other, must be a huge thing that you follow through on it all.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And trying to track that as one person is tricky as well, because you do, like, you promise them X amount of tweets, X amount of Facebook posts, etc., etc., you know, advertisement boards, opportunities with Damien or players, or, you know, doing content with players, all that sort of stuff that you promise people, like, trying to remember it all and track it all. Okay, they've had X, they've had, like, they're still to do a bit of stuff with us, and then you have to try and obviously manage that, like, you know, the lads in Diffney might want to get lads out and have a photo shoot with them, and then you're trying to get lads to go out and do a photo shoot, and then it's like, all right, well, he can't come this day, they want to do it that day, and then it's just, you know, so there's a lot in it, but no, it's all good. It's all good.
Do you ever find yourself getting frustrated with, like, I think most people, most uninformed people like me, think of a commercial director, you think of, like, a salesman going out and saying, oh, we're great because it is so
easy, like,
give us a few bob because we're great at this, that and the other. Does it ever get frustrating that, like, that you can't spend your day hounding a player to come out and do a photo shoot for you, or having to deal with the manager, where maybe if we haven't had a good week on the pitch, you have to make that awkward phone call to the manager? Or would you say most people just have no idea what is actually going on behind the scenes in the role?
Yeah, like, I often say, like, it's not just a case of, and you know from being in the background as well, working, it's not just a case that, like, we just open the gate on a Friday and people come in. Like, you know, there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes that people obviously don't realise, and obviously predominantly done by volunteers and stuff like that. But yeah, it is tricky. Like, I remember the first time, I think, I don't know if you remember it, but Avonmore, who are one of the protein milk, they're one of our bigger sponsors, but they wanted to do a photo shoot with Damien, like, as soon as he was hired, and I didn't really know Damien that well at the time. Like, he was probably like, who are you? And I'm ringing him going, oh, can we do a photo shoot with Avonmore? And it was like lashing rain, like borderline snow.
I remember
it was,
the photos, yeah.
And Avonmore showed up with, like, this full crew, like, lights.
How many are we talking?
Not like 4 or 5 lads, but they had, like, all the equipment, and, you know, they came out to the AUL, and I just remember, like, walking onto the pitch, and, like, I had them kind of behind me, and I was walking towards Damien, and I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. Like, and then I basically said to him, like, oh, you know, the lads are here to do the shoot, whatever. And he's like, we can't do it today. Like, it's like, I'm soaked. I was like, no, please. Like, please, just please do it. 10 minutes, like, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, you can't.
Literally begging for your job.
You can't manage that, like, you know. So, no, but that was one of the first ones. Like, obviously, there's been times, like, where he's helped me out with other things, like last minute stuff, or, like, getting, you know, something small, like a sign top or something like that for someone. He's more than happy to do it. So
I think most people, like, Dazzle, you could probably weigh in on this as well, most people don't realise how helpful the manager can actually be with so much stuff. I think from the outside looking in, you know, everyone always paints him as, like, this grump, and, you know, he doesn't want to talk to anyone, and, like, he's always has this guard up. But when you actually deal with him a little, I don't deal with him half as much as he used to would, but he's actually very, very approachable and helpful. And, like, you're probably the same, dealing with all the communications, that he's a lot more open than I think people think.
But I think it's the same thing everyone in the club suffers from. It's just that perception thing. Like, if there is that perception, it's just because people don't know enough to know any different. Like, we're probably not as good as we could be about kind of shouting from the rooftops all the good stuff we do on a weekly basis, because I suppose some of it is private, and if it's, you know, you reach out to someone to offer help or advice, maybe you don't go and curry favour for, but even stuff like schools visits, you see him every Friday night. Like, we don't hammer home that the managers and the players spend half an hour, 40 minutes after a game signing autographs, but happens every week. Like, it's one of these things where people will always say, oh, there's not enough happening, or this person's not doing that, or that person should be doing more. They just don't know.
It's as simple as that, really, isn't it? Like, yeah, it's
genuinely is. Like,
yeah, yeah, cool, yeah, cool, yeah.
Like, people are like, why isn't the club doing this, and why isn't the club doing that, and why aren't we in 10 schools a week? It's kind of the manpower. Like, why is Keith going buying bedlinen for players? There's no one else to do it. So, look.
That's it, yeah. I think we are getting there. Like, that's part of the plan now is, like, obviously the new breed of fan, which will be, like, Tony be driving that forward. Like, realistically, we're kind of, obviously, Dublin derbies are selling out. Like, you're not going to get us three becoming a Shelburne fan now at this stage, really, are you? Like, you might get a 30-year-old guy to go up to one or two games, but, like, we need now, like, the young kids. You know, like, they're not coming to the, they don't come for the football. Like, they come to get their, they come to spend time with their dad or get, you know, food, like a Roosters or a curry chips, or, you know, and a bottle of Coke, and just sit there, and, like, you know, the Lukies of this world that are heroes, like, that's, they don't see, you know, beyond that, really, you know what I mean? So that's what we need, like, young boys and girls who, like, prodding their parents on a Friday, like, can I please go down to Talca Park? And that's the next step in our journey, is to get that, like, you know, if we want to talk, people talking about stadium expansions and stuff like that, like, that's what we need. If that's going to be the case, then that's what we need.
That's where me and you would have started. Like, I've been going to Talca as long as I can remember. Now, I was only going to Talca because my dad used to go, and my ma then started making him bring all the kids out on Friday so she could have a bit of peace. But, like, you're mentioning there, like, Luke Byrne is somebody's hero. I was the same. Like, I remember Dave Rogers coming over and talking to me, and I lost my mind. I was like, oh, my God. And, like, then, because just the nature of football here, like, they get to know your name, and they knew my dad's name, and my dad used to help them out in the airport when they were going home, whatever. And then it just sort of snowballs. And now, like, if somebody asked me who I support, it's Shell straight away. And there would have been very few people my age when I was a kid that would have said a League of Ireland team was their team. So does the whole, the league in general is kind of on and up at the minute. Has that made life easier for you? That's kind of everyone is coming up together, or is there more competition now, do you think, for trying to get sponsors on board?
Yeah, I see it as a league. Like, I'd like to think that, like, I know I mentioned Rain and Rovers and that, like, there's certain clubs that, like, I get on with the lads in there well, and, like, we'd ring each other over different bits and pieces for, like, you know, not advice, but, like, if I felt there was someone that we couldn't take or wouldn't take on, like, I'd let someone else know about it and see. Like, I kind of see it as the league, like, it's, obviously there's rivalries and there's whatever, but kind of see for the good of the league, like, you'd like to see every club have someone in a position like myself, like, where they're generating money, and I think it sort of pays for itself in a certain way. If they're good at what they do, obviously it pays for itself. But I do see it as, like, I think the FAI could probably get involved a little bit in that as well, and, like, educate clubs on the benefits of that. Like, I think any sales role anywhere is essentially, like, you pay for yourself, or you pay your salary times two or times three or times four, whatever the stipulation of that company is. But I think there's definitely more that can be done as a league, like, in that regard. Like, look, it's great that we're flying ahead, and, like, Bows are selling out, and Rovers are selling out, and everyone, and Pats are selling out, and that's great. Like, but well, you know what I mean. Like, from a league point of view, like, that's,
love them all to go out of business.
That's where you want to be. Like, you don't want to see clubs struggling. You know what I mean? Because from working in it, like, I can understand. Like, luckily, I've never had that situation. Yeah. But, like, imagine the stress that they go through. Like, you're talking about people's jobs there, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you'd hate to see, like, I know Dundalk is a lot talk about, excuse me, Dundalk at the moment, and, you know, their attendances are down, and financially and stuff like that. Like, that's obviously not easy for lads up there to be having to deal with that. So, look, obviously, I hope anytime we play Dundalk, you know, that goes out the window for 90 minutes. Yeah, but then afterwards, like, you know, I know Brian Gartland up there quite well, and Martin up there, that, you know, always real helpful to us as well. So, yeah, I like to see the league and other teams progress in to a certain extent. You know what I mean?
Off the pitch.
Yeah,
Daryl Horgan, they can put their begging buckets away and stop feeling sorry for themselves.
No, but was that not funded externally? Or
that was what Jerry Malone said, but he was corrected by Dan McDonald and was very angry about
Jerry Malone.
Jerry Malone is one of the great characters of the league. Keith, a question I think a few people have kind of noticed, like, clubs are way more conscious nowadays of their responsibility to the community and the people who support them. Like, do we have any kind of I don't know what you call it, like a club position on some of the less desirable brands, like betting companies and all? There's a lot of talk around how dangerous gambling companies are and how insidious gambling is. Like, as a club, do we have a position around doing business with people from, say, fast fashion or betting companies or whatever it may be?
We wouldn't take on a betting company. They're probably the only emails that I get that aren't scams of people actually looking to get involved with us, because they're just desperate to get in now at the moment with anyone. I think there will be, like, there is talk of, like, the FAI introducing bans in that regard, but, like, there's stipulations around it that if you get in now, they're so keen to get in now, because if you get in now and sign a 4-year or a 5-year, then your contract will be grand for 5 years, so, like, no matter what the FAI say. So, like, we have had a lot of interest from betting companies, but we just have a stance on that. We wouldn't have any interest in working with them at all now.
Probably makes your job harder, but at the same time easier when you're talking to other brands, because you're saying, no, this is what Shell stands for, this is what we believe in.
Exactly, yeah. And it helps. Like, it does help. And I think longer term, you'll reap the rewards for it. Like, I won't lie, like, when I started the role, you know, I was like, let's get Paddy Power in here and, like, we'll, you know, they'll sign a big deal, blah, 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 and take us to the next level. But, like, I very quickly told that that's not how we do things, and then obviously learned why and all the other bits and pieces that go with that. So, fully on board with that. We wouldn't go down that road. Like, obviously, we do have our beer and stuff, which could be up for debate in a certain case. But, like, that's not really a sponsor, so to speak. Like, that's just something that we do in the bar. The lads are in the bar anyway. So, I mean, I was quite happy with how that went originally. But, yeah, no, we definitely wouldn't take on any gambling partners.
What's it like working with Andrew Doyle? What's it been like?
Great, yeah. Like Dave said, like, Andrew's Andrew, like, you know, I'd always be very grateful to him for, like, taking me on at that time. And, you know, he's so passionate about it, like, that it, like, he has these mad ideas, and he'd be the first person to tell you that some of his ideas are mental. But, like, out of 10 mad ones, there is sometimes one or two of them that you go, oh, geez, that's actually, that could be a runner, like, you know, that's a good idea, whatever. So, yeah, really enthusiastic, like everyone that's involved. Like, I know you work closely with Brian McGovern and that, like, Brian's really enthusiastic, just wants the club, like, they want the club to, you can see where they want the club to go to, but I think just the nature of the type of characters that they are, and obviously very successful in what they do, you know, sometimes it's like, they want it to happen tomorrow, and that, you know, you sort of have to take a step back sometimes and go, all right, hang on, like, you know, what about this or this, you know? And then you kind of bring it, you kind of push it, you feel like you're pushing it down the line a little bit, but we will get there with certain things like that pop up from the lads, you know. So like, obviously Andrew's idea last year with the golf day was like, we'd done this extraordinary golf day.
Did you give away a Ferrari as well?
I don't know if I can comment on that. The Ferrari was a prize, but, like, I think it was rigged. No one's ever going to win it. Like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was like a hole in one on a. Yeah, I think a hole in one.
And Andrew Doyle has won the raffle for Andrew Doyle's Ferrari.
Yeah, but, like, that made us, like, the people that were in the room that day. First of all, from a business perspective, were unbelievable, and then, like, secondly, the money we made off it, like, that was sort of Andrew's idea from the start, and, like, me and Dave were like, Jesus, how are we going to make this happen? Like some of the names that were thrown out about who we can try and get to play, like, you're nearly talking getting Nelson Mandela over to play, like, he's you know, like, this is where we were at, like, you know.
I was legitimately asked that I have an email contact from Michael Jordan, and I kind of laughed and was like, no, don't laugh, it's serious.
Yeah, that was where, like, it needed to be stripped. Like, it was like, yeah, that's a great, like, brilliant idea, let's do this golf day that no one's ever done before, 36 teams in the K Club, you know, charge, you know, good money to play in it. but we're not going to get like Harry Kane over to play, like, do you know what I mean? So
didn't want Harry Kane, he was too low down, we wanted Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, but we did have some good people playing it. I'm trying to think back now. Who played in it? Mullet. What's his name? The rugby guy with the
Shane
mullet.
Byrne.
Shane Byrne.
Damien, yeah. Delaney played. I can't think. There was a couple others. It was a good day. Mario Rosenstock was there. Doing a bit of comedy. But look, sorry, to go back to what you're saying. That's the sort of stuff that does click and is great. And then, you know, it's just making it happen then, you know.
Is there ever a concern, like, there's constantly stuff on social media, and I know generally it's mostly stupid people putting out weird opinions on Twitter, but like, you know the way, I'm not calling shelled people idiots, this is going a different way, don't worry. Like the likes of a Bowles, say, who off the pitch are supposed to do great work, you know, with commercial stuff, and is there ever a concern that it can go too far in a commercial way, if you know what I mean? I'm just speaking from a supporter point of view, because I know I have friends of mine that be Bowles fans going, oh, here, we're focusing too much on, you know,
and that sort of
raising
stuff.
Money, yeah. And all the rest of it. Let's get back to the football. Is that ever a concern for you, or are you just like, I'm going to do my job, and that's kind of...
Yeah, I think that's important that, like, I look after that, like, you know, there's no... Like, at the same time, I've said to Darren a few times when I annoy him about putting up social media stuff, like, you do make it clear to the partners that, like, we don't want our social media to become a advertisement board either at the same time, you know. You can't always be doing it. Like, we basically, I won't bore you with it, but, like, we have a model there that basically allows us to have a particular amount of partners.
Yeah.
And that's it, like, because you could have every Tom, Dick and Harry in, and then you haven't got room for them, and they're giving you a few hundred quid here and there, and it just gets messy. So we basically just stripped it back, and we have our primary, and then it filters down and down into different ones, and then that's it, like, you know. So we'd like to do more, not even financial partnerships, like, you know. You know, we linked up with the LGBT stuff recently, like campaigns like that with mental health and stuff like that. When we do that, and that's where the marketing executive will help in that regard, because I know, like, with Darren, like, Darren's got his full-time job, you've got a full-time job, and like most of the marketing, the media team do. So, like, things like that, whereby we launch a t-shirt and it's great, and, like, you kind of think, geez, this is going to take off now, this will be great, like, and they are. But then, like, it's having someone that's there full-time and accountable to actually keep that ticking over, you know, that kind of way that, like, you guys are in work, like, I'm kind of maybe going, oh, can we put up a post about this? And it's like, yeah. And then I feel like I'm, you know, annoying people then, because they're in work, like, you know what I mean? It's hard, like. So I think that's where, like, the extra, as I said, harping on about it, but it comes down to bodies and resources. And
so has there been many ideas you've had to taper because you're kind of going, well, there's nobody to take this on, so I can't really push it? Has that ever happened, or would you be more get it done and then we'll get through it one way or another?
Certain ones that are there, like, that are kind of like, is it worth it? Like, is it worth going through the hassle of it all? Like, do you know what I mean? But I think most of them come to fruition with everyone's help. Darren, yourself, whoever, Reggie.
Andy's great in the shop.
Andy in the shop, yeah, when it comes to, like, t-shirts and stuff like that. They bring Bilko, and, you know, they all row in, you know, that kind of way. So, but yeah, sometimes you'd like to do ideas. Like, I harp on a lot about, like, I think the office is, for us, going to be a game changer, because, like, I don't like giving Bowes any credit on our podcast, but, like, I thought the Aslan jersey that they did, whatever people have thoughts about it, the money that they raised, and from a commercial point of view, and, like, the views and the traction that they got in it, whatever you say about Bowes, like, that's not my opinion, but like, I would be surprised if that wasn't decided in Bowes in and done in 2 or 3 hours. You know, whereby, you know, duty, I think we should put Aslan on the front of the top right, you ring O'Neill's, you ring Des Kelly, I'll ring this, and everyone's in an office environment. Whereas if we want to do an idea like that, it's like, geez, I've got an idea, I'll ring Darren. And then Darren will go, oh, yeah, I like that. I'm in work. Or, you know. And then he send an email to someone else, and then it's like, might come back a day later, I don't really like it because of X, Y, and Z. Then he maybe answer X, Y, and Z and go back, okay, yeah, I do like it. That might have started on Monday. Now it's Friday.
And the window's gone now.
And the window's gone. Yeah. Whereas if you're actually in an office with a group of people at the same time, just, like, shooting the breeze about things, I think we would be able to get a lot more done quicker, and hopefully that is now coming down the line.
Yeah. Please God. I think a lot of people, like if you talk of an office, they kind of go, what do you mean an office? Like, you know, working remotely or whatever. When you say that, it makes total sense. And I hadn't even, when you mentioned an office earlier, I didn't even think, but when you put it like that, it should be such a small, simple thing to have, but yeah, that's kind of...
Simple things, and you just overhear things then that, like, you know, I know I've often been on to you, like, sometimes you hear players and, like Connor leaving. Like, I didn't know Connor was leaving. You know, and I don't need to know Connor's leaving. Like, yeah, that's not my job to know Connor's leaving, but someone might ring me and go, you know, oh, I see Connor's left, and I go, what? You know, you feel like, yeah, I should know that. Like, yeah, I need to, yeah, you do need to know the majority of things that are going on in the club, just from a point of view of like being someone that works there.
Yeah.
And I think in an office then, like an office environment, you would overhear these things and just like not even, just naturally take it in and go, oh, you know, that's happening or this is happening. So I think, yeah, it will be a game changer. And
internal comms is terrible at the club.
Yeah.
Like just honest way.
It's, yeah.
But it's no one's fault. It's because there's no mechanism for it. It's still quite dated. Like in any kind of normal company, they have a Slack or a Microsoft Teams, yeah, and there's an instant ability to communicate. Well, at Shells, it's still done by a lot of people through email. It's still ruled by committee. And, you know, if you have an idea, so going back 6 months ago, right, if you had an idea, it would need the approval of the board. And the board is, you know, Eamon who does the pitch, John who does the bar, Andy who does the shop. And everyone then will have something to say, and it's just not conducive to turning things around quickly,
yeah.
And
yeah,
that was always the challenge with it. I think there was brilliant people there, but the way the club was set up made it hard for them to do their best work. Because if Andy or John have a brilliant idea with the bar, they can't get it done the next day. They have quickly, to talk, yeah, to 20 people, and it's, you probably do run up against the wall and wonder, oh,
yeah, well, I think that's gotten better, in fairness.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it was, but still.
Yeah, I think, and Barry's very good at that as well, and likes to be organised and likes to know what's going on and stuff like that, and you can get things approved a lot quicker. But, yeah, internal communication is massive. Just getting stuff done, like. So, yeah, hopefully now that improves and we can kick on again.
Is that like a legacy issue? Is just that was always the way it was done and just kind of never really...
Because
like, if you think about like where we were in the start of, at the end of, say, 2017 to now, it's not all that long ago, really, and the amount the club has changed since that. Is it just a case of it's just a time issue that we're kind of getting to that professional stage now where things are starting to get put in place?
We were too slow, I think, moving forward with the times. Like, we've never had a working space, and it's only now in the last few months with the headcount increasing with the likes of yourself, Niall, Barry, Tony, this new marketing exec, probably another community exec coming down the line, probably someone else working in, you know, a different part of the club business. There will be a need to have that kind of, that hub. It's like what Bose have. No, Waterford opened a club shop office. They have it down Turner's Cross, Munster FA, Cork City. It's a massive, massive asset to have. I think we've probably always run ourselves like a football club, where at some point in the last year or two, we probably should have tried to run it like a startup. Like Brian McGovern has brilliant ideas for...
Yeah, for that would be my thoughts on it as well. It's like, yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of the times you hear in Shells when you have an idea, oh, it's not really us, that's not how we do things, or that's not how we've done things. And that's kind of one of the legacy issues. Like, Bows have been very, very good, and Pats are getting better at it, and so are Rovers, with doing things for a reason. So Bows will put Christy Dignam on a jersey to raise money for a hospice, and there's a very clear reason for why they're doing that. We'll put out a home and away jersey every year just because we have to. Like, there's never really any...
Something attached to it, like, yeah.
Not that there's no strategy. There is a strategy. People work really, really hard, but there's no kind of... There's not as much joined up thinking as there should be. You know, like, I don't doubt that when Bows are sitting down and Pats are sitting down to design that kind of stuff, there's marketing and branding. But where Shells, people are under so much pressure, they have so little time, and everyone is on different schedules, different work things, it doesn't make sense to get everyone in a room to try and
get something approved. Yeah, yeah, no,
that's probably highlighting the importance now of getting full time staff, though, is it? That, like, that we've mentioned a couple of times, that a marketing executive, that opportunity's come about. Like, it just seems to me like the more full time people you have, the easier it's going to be to get stuff done. Because you mentioned already, Keith, that, like, you could ring Dazzler with an idea, or with, can you do this for me? And he could have meetings up until 5 o'clock in the day,
exactly.
And then it's 5 o'clock. It's like, oh, here, I'm finished work now.
Yeah,
like,
I know,
like, Dave spoke about, like, he kind of only started at 5 o'clock in the evening because that's when all the volunteers finish work.
Yeah,
so you can only kind of start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you
kind of start
ones,
getting,
yeah,
and then you,
yeah,
start burning out, and it's just like a vicious circle. But just, Dazzler, that marketing executive job's been mentioned a couple of times. What's the process there?
CV's in. I think it's open until Friday of this week, and then there'll be interviews and shortlisting. Like, it's a massive opportunity. Like, Keith, I'd say over your work over the last few years, and Dave's as well, the amount of hands-on experience in 10 different areas, you'll never feel overwhelmed in any job you go on to from here on out, because you'll have dealt with absolutely everything there is to possibly deal with. So from a practical level, it's an unbelievable opportunity for someone to come in and put a stamp on it. Like, I would have strong thoughts and opinions that volunteers have probably got us as far as volunteers can get us. Like, we're under pressure to even just keep up what we're doing, never mind do more or try harder. Like, it's a bit like, you know, run harder, run faster. It's like, we probably can't anymore. So I think as a resource to the whole club, it's going to be vital. It's going to be really important. And leave other people to focus on the areas that they can add the most value to the club business as well. So, look, it's really important. If you want to apply, go to the Shell's website, shelburnefc.ie. The job posting is the featured post, and then you click into the link to Indeed, and that'll bring you into the application spot. But, like, Keith, I suppose as someone who came from outside a football environment and not a fan of the club, how easy was it to get to grips with the club?
Settle in, yeah. Like, that's what I was just going to say. If anyone was thinking about it, like, I wouldn't put anyone off. Like, I know we're probably talking about my job being mad, like, but I genuinely do, like, I do love it, like, and that's kind of what gets you up on a Monday morning, I suppose. But I think if anyone was thinking about getting involved in it, you know, it definitely go for it. Like, I mean, if you're in a different industry and you're, like, bored or whatever, like, you won't be bored in this.
You'll never be bored again.
It's like, it's mad. It is what it is, but it's great crack, like. So I think, yeah, I mean, some of the good days are, like, unbelievable. So I couldn't recommend getting involved. And even the people, like, they, like, I obviously settled in really quickly. All the volunteers, you know, like, from making you feel welcome and stuff like that, like, you'll get a bit of stick off Johnny or something, but other than that,
that means he likes you.
That means
generally.
He likes you, yeah. So yeah, no, I wouldn't put anyone off. I think it'd be great for anyone that's thinking of switching lanes.
Or they get to sit beside you in this new improved workspace?
Potentially, yeah. Potentially.
Where are you looking at go?
A couple of different options. I don't know if I can really, it's not top secret information, is it? We might firstly redevelop the current boardroom or somewhere in the stadium, but just haven't really highlighted somewhere that's possible yet. Or we're looking at going up into the university down the road,
DCU,
and renting some space off them. So that's another potential. And we haven't looked yet, but the one across the road, I can't think of the name of it now. Sports Club. Iron. We don't know if they have space, but we maybe looked at having a chat with them and seeing if they have space to rent us. So yeah, there's a few options.
Taz, I think we're nearly there, are we?
I'd definitely be doing a work from home day in Talca, I think, or wherever the new office will be. Just to annoy
Keith. Call in, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Keith.
Keith there doing
his job. Get pizzas ordered to the office for him, the whole lot.
Just go in and mess. You have to tell us some funny stories before you leave.
Oh, Jesus, where do I start?
What's the maddest thing you've been asked to do?
Oh, the maddest thing.
The fact you're having to think about it was probably pretty bad, because if there was just one mad thing, it'd come straight to mind, but it's probably been so much.
Like, honestly, I'm not joking, there's been so many days, like, me and Dave O'Connor have had some laughs, like, just, like, looking back on things that have come up or have happened. Like, I honestly should have actually thought of this before I came in, because I probably knew you were going to ask me that, but just like, I honestly don't know. I can't explain it. Some characters we come across that are just like cowboys, you know, for want of whatever term you could be used. Just yeah, like bed linen and stuff like that is just mental. And Mark and the new lads actually cost me a few bob that day. I went out to Mark and Paddy in Castleknock, and they had a list of stuff that they wanted fixed after bed linen gate. So
was it stuff they had broken?
No, just different bits and pieces in the house that needed a bit of a refresh, you know.
You did Dan Carr's beans as well, didn't you, for a while?
Actually, that's one. I have about 5-6 Sky accounts, Board Gosh, Wheelie Bins, Panda, with my name on them. And I get phone calls and texts. Oh, you know, you haven't, what's the story? I was like, oh no, they've moved out now, they're gone. Dan Carr asked, yeah. I can't remember, what was Dan Carr asked one time when he's leaving?
To put out his bins while he was at training. You told him to put them out the night before, I think.
No, he the bins were coming. And he said he couldn't do it, he had training on the Friday. Could I go over to his house on Saturday morning and let the bins in? Like, so yeah, I mean, that sort of stuff happens, but
your missus must be a saint to put up with. Imagine, I'm just thinking, if I turn around to Vanessa on a Saturday morning, sorry, I have to nip over, Dan Carr needs his bins brought in. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Was there not something about Christmas trees?
Dave had Christmas trees.
Andrew Doyle had a brilliant idea that a big demand for Christmas trees around November. Buy them cheap, sell them high.
I would say everyone in the club now has a mad Andrew Doyle story. They have to.
I have a few. The projector.
Oh, did we tell that story before?
I think we'd save it. Do you know the projector
story? I know the projector, yeah.
Are we allowed to tell it? Is that right?
I don't know. I think Andrew's retired. So.
No, Andrew, he was there on Friday.
Yeah.
Saw him on Friday. But yeah, no, there's some mad stories. Mad people we've come across more than anything that just like, yeah, we've had a few.
Cup final was probably a few characters. Special time. Everything that goes into that.
Yeah, the cup final was amazing, yeah. That was probably my favourite. As like busy as it was, but like that was probably my favourite time. Waterford, like, obviously I'm not a Shells fan, but when you're like, as I said, I'm kind of engrossed in it now. Like, I remember my watch was vibrating and everything. Waterford saying, are you working out? Like, thought my heart rate was going through the roof. But that was a great day, Waterford. And then the cup final was amazing. Like, just even like, you know, like, obviously we're not playing, but like, even you lads and that, having that sort of day, get the tin of fruit on, pitch side, family there, mates there, everyone sort of, I know we got hammered, but like those occasions, like, put it this way, like, it's not coming around this year again anyway, so
yeah,
you don't get them that often. Like, I know we weren't playing, and it's obviously more special if you're playing, but to be involved in some capacity was, the whole lead up was deadly, yeah. Really, really good. That was my highlight, I'd say.
Now I think we're there, are we?
Almost there. Obviously, the WNL side returns to action after a break for the World Cup. So the tickets for the game against Treaty are available now on the website. Noel King as well revealed 4 new signings today.
Yeah, Morgan Rees, Libby Moore, Natasha Shirazi and Catherine Graverson.
And as we will exclusively reveal a bit of news on the podcast.
Oh, there, we like this, you
see.
Here
we go.
Here we go.
Two of our underage academy graduates, Katie McCarron and Lucy O'Rourke, have been promoted to our senior squad and will be on the travelling party for the trip to Europe, which is more than experience. Myself and Duty will be on.
Oh, fear. Let's not. Don't open that can of worms, whatever you do.
Go on, open it. No. What is it?
So tickets for Treaty United are on sale now. Go to the Shells website. You'll find the link. It's in the article announcing the 4 new players at the end of it. You can also find them at treatyunitedfc.com/tickets. We're going to have a special announcement this week as well on a brand new ticket initiative for the women's game to try and capitalise on some of the interest around the World Cup. And Duty, I know you have two or three guests that you want to have on. You want to have Pearl on and Rebecca Cray, maybe a few others over the next few weeks. So,
who's on next year? Maybe you originally asked me on. I think, did you? The time after Damien was on, I thought, I can't go on after him. The listeners are going.
Yeah, I asked and you just said no.
Did I?
You just said, oh no, I couldn't go on there.
That was after, it. See, he'd been on, I thought, like, what a damp way to
yeah. He also follow absolutely up, slaughtered you.
No,
he did. He said all style.
All
no
style,
substance.
No substance. Yeah, but like, Damien's asked me for Tadhg Brennan's number a couple of times now. Well, so he obviously likes Tadhg what he sees on the, you know.
Tadhg finds his way onto this pod an awful lot. Or he's getting mentioned everywhere. Jack Moylan, I know, he's had a bit of back and forward with all Tadhg. So,
yeah. He's a stylish man.
Tadhg? Hmm? Yeah.
Is that where you got that little orange Columbia number?
No, no. I bought a few pairs of runners off Tadhg.
We'll see. We'll all look after each other.
So, yeah, all style, no substance.
Yeah, obviously the men's team have no game this week because we are out of the cup. We're back week after next.
I didn't want to be in the cup anyway.
It's a waste of time.
Sligo next?
Yes, Sligo away. We'll get a preview of that game done. So we'll hold on to that because that will give us another podcast. Can't give you everything now, otherwise there'll be no reason for any of us to come back.
Exactly. And we will be back. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, Dazzler, are you happy?
Always.
Keith McDerby, thanks a million for coming
cheers,
in.
Lads.
Appreciate you giving up your evening. Not many will.
Can we
so
play us
you.
Out on Nothing Compares to You?
Oh.
Caravan of Love. No.
No. No.
Anything except for the Caravan of Fucking Love.
Not even Mandinka or something half decent by Sinead O'Connor.
It's been said.
Sing us out there, Darren.
Here's Red Sails. Good night. Up the Reds.
Thanks, lads.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Red sails in the sun.